I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, tonight's regular scheduled board meeting is Thursday, June 10th, 2021. Tonight we'll have two public hearings. We'll start with those first. The first one is public hearing, proposed local law number 1 of 2021 entitled Solar Energy Facilities Law. I'll read the public notice. In accordance with the current executive orders, the regular town board of the town of Duanesburg, June 10th, 2021, meeting at 7 p.m. will be held via video conferencing, teleconferencing, utilizing the Zoom application. You have the opportunity to see and hear the meeting live or provide your comments via the chat session that will be part of the meeting. If you have a computer, tablet, or smartphone, you join and hear the audio and see the video of the live meeting. You can also access the meeting via phone as described below and listen to the meeting as a teleconference. The meeting will be recorded and later transcribed in accordance with Executive Order 202.1. Please take notice the Town Board, the Town of Duanesburg, New York, will meet at the Town Offices of Duanesburg, 5853 Western Turnpike on Thursday, June 10, 2021 at 7 p.m. for the purpose of hearing all persons interested in adoption of Local Law Number 1 of 2021 entitled Solar Energy Facilities Law. The proposed local law would repeal and replace Local Law Number 1 of 2016 and increase and improve the requirements to construct and operate major solar energy systems in the town related to visual impact evaluation and screening and buffers, including setting forth additional decommissioning and financial security requirements, among others, by order of the town board, town of Duanesburg. A discussion on this before I open up to the public. This is something we've been dealing with for many months. So often, towns, well, we look at laws that they, and it seems they need to be updated. This, when we did the original solar law back in 2016, we were one of the first towns in the capital district that had a solar law. Am I correct, Teresa? So we were kind of starting from scratch. We took a lot of input from a lot of different organizations, including the county, and we really set up a lot of work done from our town planning board. And that's how we developed the law we have now. Over the last 4 or 5 years, some solar farms have been built. Things have come to light that we didn't think of back then. And some new residents ideas, things have changed. So this law, what we're doing now is just basically to clean up the original law we have and to add some protections to the town and for the residents of the town for the future. It's not a major overall. Like I said, it's just a lot of smaller things that add up to, you know, better things for the town for the future. You guys have any other comments before we open the public hearing?
Yep, summed it up well.
Okay. I'll make the motion to open the public hearing.
Second.
Any discussion? Jennifer, call the roll, please.
Supervisor Tidball?
Aye.
Councilmember Shackle?
Aye.
Councilmember
Gamper? Aye.
Councilmember
Wolfson? Aye. I do have one that was mailed in to us. I don't know if Mrs. DeForest, is she online with us?
Not
really. Okay. I'll read this one. I give everybody a chance to. After I read this one from Mr. DeForest, if anybody has comments, we normally do Zoom, put it through the chat or try to get our attention, and we'll give you time to speak. This comment needs to be addressed to the town board meeting Thursday, June 10, 2021. I would like to convey our feelings on solar power in the rural countryside of our beautiful Duanesburg landscape. We oppose any erection of any solar power plant that is in view of any resident's parcel of land and or in view of any town or county road, no matter the size and numbers of the plant. Notification of such a project should be given to all residents of Duanesburg in a very timely manner, and all efforts to contact such individuals should be made in writing and public notice at the time of any application submitted for such a project without hesitation. We would like to see a 32-foot sign be erected at the proposed site for more community notice. We need to keep the rural atmosphere of our town just as it is, should be, with no obscuring, blatant, unsightly solar fields obscuring the view. Linda Forrest, McGuire School Road. Thank you, Linda. We're in vote. At this time, anybody that's in the Zoom that wishes to speak?
Hi, it's Lynn Bruning, 13388 Duanesburg Road. On June 4th, I submitted a 103E open meeting law requesting the local law 1 for the solar facilities law, and your agenda, as well as the email that I was sent by the town clerk, does not include the law that you're reviewing tonight. So I'm not sure if any of the public is aware of the text that is being reviewed. How can I get a copy of that, please?
It is on the website.
Could you give me a little more direction? Please?
Not off the top of my head, no. And it is on the Secretary of State, it's under the local laws on their website also.
Okay. Thanks. I'll go there right now and see if I can find it and give you some feedback. Thank you.
Is that all you have for now, Lynn?
Yes. Thank you. I haven't seen a document, so I don't know what to say. Thanks.
All right. Sure. No problem. Anybody else wish to speak about the solar law?
The guy is trying to talk. He's unmuted.
Up in the left-hand corner?
Yeah.
He might be muted on his end.
He's probably singing.
I'll ask them to unmute.
You gotta unmute on your computer.
Can you help me?
Okay. You hear me now?
There you go.
You can hear me.
Yeah. Yep, if you speak up a little bit, just give us your name and address.
Yeah, my name is Peter Watrous. I'm at 475 Depot Road, Duanesburg. And I'm really not too up on the law that's been passed or the rules, but I am in favor of having solar in the town. But I was wondering what the thought was about not allowing any visibility from town or county roads. That seems pretty broad, considering, you know, that it might not really affect anybody very much other than somebody quickly passing by in a car.
I think he's referring to the
comment.
Yeah.
Peter, were you referring to the letter that I just read?
Yeah.
That was a comment from another resident, just asking us to keep that in mind too. They would not like to see the solar panels. That's basically what they're saying.
Okay, so that
wasn't the town's view. No, another resident.
Oh, okay, thank you.
You're welcome. I'm sorry.
I was just going to say that exactly what you said, and also within the solar law, we have asked for buffers and screens, et cetera, to mitigate a lot of that issue. So we're aware of that issue.
Is that it, Peter?
Yes, that's it. Thank you.
Thank you. It's good hearing from you again. It's been a while.
Yeah, it has been.
Anybody else on Zoom wish to speak about the solar law?
Something in the chat box there.
They just want the spelling of the name of the resident whose comment was read.
It was DeForest. DeForest was your last name. And then.
Can somebody email it to me?
I believe the reporter from the Gazette is probably one of the people on there. That's probably her.
Hi, it's Lynn again. I really can't find the law on the website. Could somebody just email it to me?
We will. Yep, we'll look for it. Yep, we'll send you a link.
Thanks so much.
I don't know if I can find it now. You're welcome, Brad. But
let her know you're holding the public hearing.
Yeah. We will be all holding the public hearing through the next meeting too. So we're not closing this tonight. So you will have time for comments on the law when you see it.
Okay, thank you so much. I do appreciate that. I'm sorry I'm having such a difficult time locating it. I thought it would just be attached to the agenda. Thank you.
Anybody else on Zoom at this time for the solar wall? If not, we always have it at the end of the meeting. If you can't get on now or want to have comments at the end of the meeting, we also have our open floor, open comment session then too. If you do have any comments that come up over the next week or two, please get them into our town clerk to be so they can disperse to the town board. So at this moment, I'll make the motion to have a continuation of the public hearing for proposed local law number one. Second. Any discussion? Jennifer, call the roll, please.
Supervisor Tidball?
Aye.
Councilmember Wenzel?
Aye.
Councilmember
Cantor? Aye.
Councilmember Schott?
Aye. Okay. Public hearing number two. Proposed local law number two of 2021. Entitled A Local Law Amending the Town of Duanesburg Zoning Ordinance with respect to commercial event venues. You okay here?
I mean,
it's
just closed.
It's
just Zoom. I can't speak.
Oh, I'm sorry, ma'am. I totally.
It's all right.
We've been doing this so way so long.
It's up. Oh, sorry. Lynn's mom is here too.
I deeply apologize.
13388 Duanesburg Road.
Okay.
I just like to comment on the person who just called in on Zoom who was concerned about the disability.
Mm-hmm.
We have had in prior meetings here real estate agents who came in and discussed with you the negative aspect of visibility on the sale price of any property that they have been handling. So I think that that's something that this individual really should know about and take effect or consider in regard to his own property and other people's properties in the area. Secondly, in regard to the screening, it was our understanding that solar law required screening the full length of an array, the full perimeter of an array. As all of you know, our property is 2,500 feet. And there was going to be no array until both men and I spoke to that point and you finally agreed to only 1,600 feet. There is no basic evergreen coverage on our side, which, as you know, Eden Renewables said, there's no problem. There is all this kind of trees on our property, which is not true. There is nothing on Murray's property for the entire feet that could possibly be considered screening. I invite any of you to come and thank you.
Thank you. I apologize again. I'm sorry.
Nobody knew that the old 85-year-old lady was going to arrive, I'm sure.
Okay, go back on track here. Public hearing for proposed local law number two. I'll read the public notice. In accordance with current executive orders, the regular town board of the town of Duanesburg, June 10, 2021 meeting at 7 p.m. will be held via video conference and teleconference utilizing the Zoom application. You have the opportunity to see and hear the meeting live and provide your comments through the chat session that will be part of the meeting. If you have a computer, tablet, or smartphone, you join and hear the audio and see the video of the live meeting. You can also access the meeting via phone as described below and listen to the meeting as a teleconference. The meeting will be recorded and later transcribed in accordance with Executive Order 202.1. Please take notice that the Town Board of Town of Duanesburg, New York will meet at the Town Offices of Duanesburg, 5853 Western Turnpike on Thursday, June 10, 2021 at 7 p.m. for the purpose of hearing all persons interested in adoption of Local Law Number 2 of 2021. Entitled A Local Law Amending the Town of Duanesburg Zoning Ordinance with respect to commercial event venues. The proposed local law would amend the zoning law to allow commercial events to occur in existing appropriate structures in all zoning districts of the town, with the exception of the L2 district, upon issuance of a special use permit by the town planning board. The purpose of the local law is to regulate such events to ensure that they are consistent with public health, safety, and welfare, and to address any environmental impacts associated with the operation of commercial event venues by order of the town board of the town of Duanesburg.
Before we open the public hearing, Teresa, did you want to do a brief overview of the?
Yes, happy to do that.
Thank you.
The purpose of the commercial event venue law was to allow people to hold events of up to, I believe it is, 200 people in structures and buildings that are things like barns, existing buildings, really to give people an opportunity to have weddings, bar mitzvahs, you know, anniversary things, graduation parties, very common this time of year. And this is on a commercial basis only that we're regulating. So if you're running it as a commercial event venue, as opposed to a fire hall or a church or whatever, we're not requiring any of those types of existing facilities, which already have been inspected by Dale and approved as places of public assemblies. We're not regulating that. This is really part of our effort, just like you guys did a couple of years ago with the meaderies and wineries and the agritourism. This is another way to encourage small local businesses in Duanesburg. And we have a lot of beautiful space for these types of events to go into. So we thought it would be a good idea, and I worked very closely with the planning board in developing the criteria for where you can have this and what types of issues would be reviewed. So we have limits on hours of operation. We have requirements that there be an operations plan, and that there be, and that any potential for noise or adverse traffic be addressed, as well as requirements that things get picked up after, all the things that you would hope people would do all on their own, but often they don't. The other thing that we have sought to do here, because both people have brought up the issue of how this affects mass gatherings. So we had proposed, along with the existing churches and other types of uses where you already have these types of events, that this section would not apply to a facility that has been granted a special use permit to hold a mass gathering as defined under the town zoning code. So there are one or two, well, there's one permanent mass gathering permit that's been granted by the town as a result of litigation that occurred a long time ago, and we didn't want to disturb that in any way, shape, or form. So if you're having a very large event like a mass gathering, you would still fall under that criteria. You would not fall under this criteria. Is that clear? That's really the only change since we introduced this before. I mean, I'm sure there'll be other changes suggested tonight, but that was the primary one.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yep. Makes sense.
Do you guys have any questions before?
No.
No, okay. I don't think so.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. At this time, I'll make the motion to open the public hearing. Second. Okay. Anybody that's left on Zoom or in our building here wish to make a comment on the local law number two? It doesn't matter.
Okay.
Mr. Sears?
Thank you very much. I stopped by, got a copy of the changes. I was up to 150, so number of people. So I might not have your most current draft.
Okay, well, I don't know when you picked it up because there were changes once it was referred to the planning board and also to the zoning board of appeals.
Okay.
So
I got it 2 days.
Yeah, the one I wanted to was not.
Okay, well, we'll be
holding. So, if I say something in here that's been changed, please let me know.
I will do that, yes.
Once again, thank you for addressing the issue and working on trying to get this set up so the community can have places to gather around us. Starting with the beginning, you're talking about conversion and use of existing structures. Now, sounds like it's pretty. And hey, I want to build a new structure for a wedding barn or a gathering event. would new structures be allowed? And it seems like it'd make more sense if you want to design something perfect to allow for a newer structure to be correct rather than that.
The concept of this was to use existing structures. If that's something the board wants to consider, Mr. Sir, the board can consider.
I don't understand. What we're setting up here is, okay, so once I build something, it's a structure, then I come try to get a permit. The research I've done on wedding venues or event venues, stuff like that, they start with an existing structure, bar, stuff like that, and then if they can bring something aesthetically like another barn for a chap or something like that, that's typically how these things develop.
Okay, so to your, I just want to make sure I get it clear. So your recommendation would
I'm
be,
asking.
This is your chance to
okay, I'm recommending.
Okay.
I'm sorry, it's my chance today. I'm recommending that existing structures or allow new structures.
Okay.
So a structure might actually make sense. A structure might actually be planned.
Yeah.
It would be proper spacing. So I'm going to say, I'll get a new structure. Then all of a sudden you guys can say, hey, let's put it this far away. Let's direct it this way. Let's get the parking this way set up ahead of time rather than dealing with the structure that's up.
That's a good recommendation. You're on a roll.
Once again, I told you guys before, I apologize if my voice or tone comes off. It's just
we're used to you now, Joseph.
Okay. Let's go over non-commercial basis is exempt. So I'm working with my buddy here, the Ben Brefix next door. He's hosted weddings before. He doesn't charge. So that would be considered non-commercial. He's not charging.
It would be part of his operation of the bed and breakfast, and we would give him a permit, so he should come in as soon as this is adopted.
Okay, so whenever he's done it before, he's used my front yard and all my parking. He doesn't have the facility to qualify here. Not that it's going to be a mute issue, anyways. It's for sale. The new prospective owners aren't interested in the bed and breakfast.
Well, so would your recommendation be that that people be allowed to use their neighbor's properties with permission to augment their property?
No, I'm just pointing out the way. I've talked to a lot of neighbors. I've researched a lot, gone to a lot of wedding facilities. There's several set up in Scotia that are non-commercial. They don't charge. They have 200 people. The local church is using somebody's local barn, and they're having weddings there every other week. It's not commercial. So,
need to define commercial.
Commercial is usually defined as charging.
I would say so.
If you're not charging, it's not commercial.
Let's define it. For instance,
right now, in the last couple of weeks, there's been two events held on my property of about 100 people utilizing my facility. It's my tent, excuse me. I've got the triathlon, very large event, hosted on my property, non-commercial. Even if I set up a wedding venue, that would not be covered, correct?
We're talking right now about a proposed law. Whatever you're doing now, I'm sure you've been in touch with Dale, so we'll just let that go. But as far as comments on this law, you just give us your recommendation.
Commercial being fine. If you're charging, it's commercial. If you're not charging, it's not commercial.
We'll come up with an appropriate definition. We'll make sure everybody can see it. Okay.
Okay.
It's not a problem.
Once again, I'll just want to tell the part about providing adequate parking, is that on the property, or just you have to show you have adequate parking if you're using other properties that they're shuttling people?
That could be part of your proposal. Yes, that would be fine.
Okay.
They use other property, yeah.
As off-site parking.
Off-site parking, yeah.
We'll make sure that's covered.
Like they did with Camp Pisco, remember they were going to use Maple Ski Ridge and bus people, and so it's kind of the same.
Dave Perone's awesome up there.
Yeah.
Something's happening at the B&B, they park there.
Yeah.
As long as it complies with the other guidelines as far as safety and sufficient parking and all that, I don't think it would matter
where you park
where it was. Yeah.
Okay. So I talked to you earlier, I checked in with Dale and said I'm not in the Lake District, but it appears by the map of my 6.7 acres, 3.3 acres is in the Lake District, and the other 6.4 is in non-Lake District.
Okay, so the way we would have to handle this is we would have to amend the law to allow driveways through districts in which the use is not permitted as okay accessory uses in order to get to the property. So if everybody's comfortable with that, I can draft that in this law, because there's case law on that, unfortunately, cases we were involved in, where you're prohibited from having an accessory use to a non-permitted use in the district to get to a district where it's allowed, which in Duanesburg is kind of a hardship because a lot of the frontage is zoned differently than the back. So if you guys are okay with that, I can add that provision.
Yeah, it sounds like something's been done before, so.
So, once again, thank you for all your hard work. I try to send a pound of support. We had the fire chief from Rival over, so he's telling me, barring him to do inspections, he said this, if I apply for a permit, this will probably be his first. Giddy up and go. He looked at where I'm at, he's like, well, we're going to come over here and we'll do a site plan in case of emergency, whether you're before this even happens, so he wants to take care of that.
We would want all the fire, we would want the fire chief responsible for the particular area to review the site plan and say everything is fine.
Yeah, they'll usually invite the fire chiefs with them to go to schools and stuff.
Yeah, the fire chief says he wants to do a site plan on the property right now because he knows, you know, we've got stuff going on.
Yeah.
Just for him, for the building.
Well, that's fine. That has nothing to do with the law, though.
Okay, with the law, the venue must have at least two means of egress, at least one of which is for the emergency vehicles. Now, example of that breakfast, they got a horseshoe driveway, one in, one out, one zone. Where I'm at, they do a horseshoe driveway in the front. The neighbors were all on board. They've been helping me with the construction of this. Can we utilize the adjoining neighbor's property, which would get to the same venue, and totally dedicated towards emergency vehicle?
I don't see any reason why that wouldn't work, and we'll make sure that's covered. But you would have to have some kind of written agreement with the neighbor, just as a heads up.
Oh, I understand.
Okay.
So I talked with several of the other neighbors about EV requirements and stuff like that. The only thing I got is they only want country music, so I told you guys to address that.
Well, you could, but.
So that's not going to include that.
No, that would be unacceptable. We can't regulate content of music.
So we've got a long history. Right. They're like, you always play country music, so we're good with that. You know, we're going to check.
Yeah, little neighbors.
You can agree on the side on that if you wish. But.
So the graduating into this, you said you're up to proposal up to 200 right now.
That's correct. Yeah.
I always find things start best if they're smaller. Make sure things work before they go up. But there's some encouragement in here for people not to go for the big 200 right away, but to start smaller. What I'm thinking at is, Dale was telling me that under 100 is considered different for building, for the inspection makes things a lot easier. I'm looking at the requirements for the traffic studies to be done.
You can always choose to go smaller.
Yeah.
If we added something in there where if a smaller venue under 100, you wouldn't have to do the traffic study.
No, we wouldn't do that.
You wouldn't do that? Okay. I don't know about that. So the sound, the 70 dB, that's based off a general recommendation that I've seen other laws is instead of just saying adjoining property with a residential structure. For an example, the bed and breakfast, which I love those guys, my bus is not when they have things, they play music, but they direct it out towards the street. So they purposely direct it away from residential structures that might be louder next to the street. Where I'm at, I've got a joint lot that's 21 acres of non-residential, no house, no nothing. Which if it was just toward, the 70 dB was at the borderline with residential structures, I would try to set up to get away from the residential structure, direct the sound towards the non-residential parcels.
I think we can look at it to make sure that the planning board has enough discretion to take a look at the nearest residential receptor, as okay. opposed to just the property that but it probably it won't be like it'll be within their discretion, something they look at as part of the secret process. That's all.
No problem. I know pointing towards the lake or pointing towards totally vacant agricultural land might be more desirable or might actually be an incentive when somebody's building a new structure. Say, if I put it way over here, it might put the DBs over and the cows might get upset, but it just.
I don't know about cows.
The time nine, it was, I got 9 to 9 that crossed out 10, so we currently have?
Yeah, 9 to 10, that's correct.
Okay, but if somebody set up this and they were, I don't want to get the triathlon part of my property until they start at 7, they would not, if you go back to, if I'm not charging, it's not commercial, then.
Well, let's, that's interesting. I mean, we didn't really think of events other than party type events. So maybe we need to have the planning board have the ability to make an exception. All right.
In the planning board is going to be able to possibly put a limit on the number of events. Going back to the commercial aspect, if we do the event that's being charged as commercial and the event that's not being charged wouldn't be counted on there.
We didn't put that in.
Okay, mine's got the they can limit the number of events. Originally I saw
The planning board.
The planning board can.
Yeah, the planning board can. Yeah.
Okay.
That's a different issue. There's no per se limit.
Yeah.
So if everything's working out fine, you wouldn't expect to get a limit. You know, if your neighbors are complaining, then, you know.
If you're holding something every day and every night.
Yeah, no.
There's somebody's going.
I'm looking at.
Yeah, we know what you're looking at, but let's say somebody else.
Oh, I understand.
Or somebody takes over your property, something like that.
I was looking at it, we get a limit, and I'm actually working with the social committee of the Rival Civic Association.
Yeah.
Trying to get a community event today. Stuff like that. Going back to the commercial, non-commercial, if I'm not charging. It doesn't count. We're not charging.
A community event day would not count.
Okay. I think that's all I got. Sorry to take so long.
No, not a problem.
Well,
rather be thorough, get it all out. Absolutely.
That's the input from the three closest joint neighbors to
Great.
That.
Great.
Thank you, Joe.
Thank you very much.
Anybody else left on Zoom or anybody in the room wish any comments on this local law?
Again, it's Lynn Bruning, 13388 Duanesburg. Again, I can't find the law for the events facilities. It would be helpful in the future if the law was attached to the public hearing notice or to the agenda items so that people could just find it easily. And the link that I was just sent for the solar law is actually for the 2016 law, not what's being reviewed. Thanks.
Okay, thank you. Anybody else wish to speak? Anybody on there, Jeff?
No.
Okay. I'll make the motion to continue the public hearing to the next town board meeting, local law number 2.
Second motion.
Any discussion? Jennifer, call the roll, please.
Supervisor Schlegel.
Aye.
Councilman Panther.
Aye.
Councilman Sarko.
Aye.
Councilman
Aye. Okay, moving along.
I'm in approval of minutes, please. We have to.
When's the next board meeting?
2 weeks. Was it the 24th? Is it 10th? Yeah.
Okay.
No.
Please.
Lieutenant, take over. yeah, approval minutes.
Make a motion to approve the minutes for the town board meeting held on Thursday, May 27th, 2021.
Second. Any discussion on those? Jennifer, call the roll, please.
Councilmember Gantner?
Aye.
Councilmember Wenzel?
Aye.
Councilmember Sackville?
Aye.
Supervisor.
Aye. The town clerk's report, please.
Total non-local revenues, $215.98. Total local shares remitted, $3,257.27. Total state, county, and local revenues, $3,473.25.
Thank you. Monthly statement of town supervisor. Revenues, general fund, $53,796.79. Highway fund, $14,524.13. Total of $68,320.92. Disbursement, general fund, $123,195.64. Highway fund, $40,508.31. Sewer district number one, $12,028.41. Sewer district number two, $13,215.84. Sewer district number three, $3,490.90. $192,442.10. Payment of claims, please.
Just for the record, the local law is in the draft minutes from last meeting.
Okay.
It's attached to draft minutes, and it should therefore be posted on the town website, because that's what we do with draft minutes.
Yeah.
They're attached. The other thing that's attached is the event law as well.
Okay.
All right. So they are there.
All right, thank you.
Thank
no
you.
Problem.
Joe, were you
going to
say something?
I'll read it. Yep. The payment of claims. Cash requirements per fund. Fund A from NBT General Fund MM to accounts payable, $39,766.20. Fund B from the general fund to accounts payable, $29,460.91. SL1 from the general fund to accounts payable, $177.21. SL2, general fund to accounts payable, $340.23. SL3, general fund to accounts payable, $155.94. Total general fund transfer is $69,900.49. From fund DA, highway fund to accounts payable, $2,414.01. The DB fund, highway to accounts payable, $3,614.45. Total highway fund transfer is $6,028.46. Sewer districts, SS1, sewer district 1 to accounts payable, $641.85. Fund SS2, sewer district number 2 to accounts payable, $4,309.11. SS3, sewer district number 3 to accounts payable, $302.11. Total transfer to AP is $81,182.02.
Need a second?
Second.
Any discussion? Jennifer, call the roll, please.
Councilmember
Gantner?
Aye.
Councilmember
Summerfield?
Aye.
Councilmember Wenzel?
Aye.
Supervisor
Jabal? Aye. All right, the committee reports.
Set
off with Highway
with
Mr. Reed.
We are 85% complete prepping the roads for surfacing or resurfacing. About now, start rolling next week.
Anything you guys want to add or questions for Bill?
Sure, we
sweet. Sure, we sweet. That's really cool. Alrighty. Public safety, nothing.
No.
Nothing's going on the last few weeks. Park Committee?
Park Committee, at our last meeting, we the youth program will carry on this year at Patton Park. It will start on July 12th. There was a post up on the town's Facebook page with some particulars about that. One of the big things we're striving to get done with that is the new bathroom down at Van Patten Park. It may not be 100% complete, probably will not be, but it will be functional for that. So we'll have sanitary facilities, we'll have water. That's something we're striving very hard to make happen. And then old news, the disc golf continues progress. And I have not gone over to check it myself. Hope to get over there sometime before the week is out and see how far along they are. And that is all.
Well, thank you. And I know, sir, I had a committee member.
Yes. We have a new person on the committee, so I have a motion in this evening to approve.
Sewer's John. I met with Dale this afternoon to review the status report from May, so I'll go over some of the things that they worked on during May.
Welcome to Zoom. Enter your meeting ID followed by pound. Enter your participant ID followed by pound. Otherwise, just press pound to continue. Please enter the meeting passcode followed by pound. You are are in the meeting now. There are 4 participants in the meeting. You are muted. You can mute or unmute yourself by pressing *6. Muted. You can mute or unmute yourself by pressing *6.
Hey, I'd like to just test the sound. I'm not getting any sound from the meeting. I don't know if there's something that I'm doing wrong in my computer.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can hear you now.
We'll just speak up. I'm sorry.
I think the sound was off for some reason. I don't know.
It might have
like no sound at all. Thanks. I got your number.
I think we had a little computer glitch.
Okay, great.
Now, I'll start over again. A week or so ago, we met with a member from CT Mill Associates Engineering Group to look at possible expansion of Town Hall. We've had a lot of ideas over the last 7 years. I've been supervisor by building. Buying property, building places, taking existing buildings and restructuring them. With the money that the government has given us, we're trying to look to see if we use that money to do a small addition, mostly on the lower part of this building, to do some upgrades and maybe move the meeting hall downstairs and put all the operations of town hall on one floor
and move the courts. Basically, the court system would be downstairs. In theory, I think it would work out really good. It'd just be more financing it, and making everything work really go as smooth as possible. So we're in the initial development stages of talks with CTML. They did send me a proposal regarding the proposal for preliminary design phase services, addition, and renovations of the existing town hall facility. Couple pages, I'm not going to read all through it. Basically, they're asking for us to for compensation, preliminary design phase services shall be compensated for the stipulated lump sum amount of $14,900 plus reimbursable expenses. That'll be to, I mean, have time to, I don't know if you guys have time to look through it. It basically covers the preliminary site layout, preliminary building design, taking consideration everything going on in the building, order of magnitude, which is preliminary opinion of probable cost. It would come up well, what it would look the cost to do the addition. Basically, pretty straightforward. One of the like they sent us before. Is this something you guys want to put in for a motion to pay them that amount? Or you want to wait a board meeting and have a discussion to see if you guys feel amounts too much, or?
I think we need the opportunity to read through that.
Okay. All right. No, not a problem.
Yeah. I trust these panels quite, but we need to make sure that what's in there is within what we expect the scope to be.
That's why I asked.
So,
exactly. I don't know if anybody had a chance to go through it.
Yeah, I didn't.
Everybody get a copy? Okay, not a problem. And
I would say though, I think that this is actually a pretty good idea that we're considering this. I mean, for a few reasons. One, as you said, it gets all of our folks working on the same floor rather than two floors, so you don't have the up and down all day long. And that's not only for the folks that work here, but that's for people that come to town to do any business. Mm-hmm. That they don't have to go up and down the stairs in order to get certain things done. It also gets our meeting room and what would be court in a larger area downstairs. So from a capacity standpoint, that makes sense. But also part of that addition, what we talked about was to have a separate entrance exit for the judges from their offices downstairs. When the Office of Court Administration evaluated the court situation here, I mean, it basically settled with the disaster because the judges only have one way out, and should there be, God forbid, some sort of problem in here, it presented a clear danger to the justices. So that's part of the reason we added security here. This addition would eliminate that problem. There would be two ways in and out. So for several reasons, I think this is a really good idea to pursue, but I think it makes sense that we take the time to review what's in there.
One of the biggest things for the addition would be a bathroom downstairs.
Yes.
On a lower level.
That's right.
That's the main reason we're looking into an addition. So. We'll let you guys look it over. Teresa, I don't think you got a copy. I'll send it to you. Also, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
right. No problem. I have nothing else, I think, that we've opened this and stuff. Back to my last couple. Nothing. Okay. You guys have anything else you want to discuss before we go into business meeting? All right, let's start off with the business meeting. I did the first one here. Motion to approve the PSI approval in the amount of $3,110 and authorize the town supervisor to sign the contract. Whereas on January 29th, 2021, Honorable Vincent W. Versace issued an order and adjustment authorizing the town of Duanesburg, the town, to remediate any and all unsafe and dangerous conditions existing at 111 Darby Hill Road, the property, including demolition and removal of structures. And whereas the town of Duanesburg, the town, retained Prime AE Group of New York to prepare plans and specifications for the demolition and removal of said structures, including testing, preparation of project scope, and overseeing the bidding process. And
Whereas the proposals on the asbestos project monitoring and air sampling services, the work were obtained in accordance with the town procurement policy, and the lowest proposal received was from Professional Service Industries, Inc., PSI, with an amount of $3,110. Now, therefore, be resolved that the town board hereby approves the PSI proposal in an amount of $3,110 and authorizes the town supervisor to sign the contract with PSI.
Second.
Any discussion? Discussion on this, basically, this is the next step of removing the nastiness up there in the corner of Boyer Hill Road. Every time we just move it along, this is the asbestos side of the removal of any possible contaminants.
Yep.
Any other questions, comments about it?
Yep.
All right. Jennifer, call the roll, please.
Supervisor Chappell?
Aye.
Councilmember Wenzel?
Aye.
Councilmember Cantor?
Aye.
Councilmember
Aye. Make a motion to approve an authorized payment in the amount of $14,715.48 to Delaware Engineering for invoice number 2. Whereas the Mariahville Wastewater Treatment Plant, paren the Mariahville WWTP, serves Mariahville Lake Sewer District Number 2, and whereas the New York State Department of Environmental Conservation amended the New York State Pollutant Discharge Elimination System Permit for the Mariahville WWTP, requiring that the Mariahville WWTP effluent be disinfected, paren the project, and whereas the town board retained Delaware Engineering, DPC, paren Delaware, for professional services in connection with the project, and whereas Delaware has submitted an invoice dated May 7, 2021 for town board review in the amount of $14,715.48 for professional services provided during April and May 2021, paren professional services invoice number 2. Now therefore be it resolved, the town board approves professional service invoice number 2 and authorizes payment of such invoice in the amount of $14,715.48 from the designated account holding the bond proceeds for this purpose.
Second.
Any discussion?
Yeah, so this is essentially for Delaware Engineering to do the planning and design work for the UV system that we are required to put in the Mariahville plant. So I believe the DEC required that we have the plan and the design work submitted to them for approval, right? This is payment for that.
That is correct. And this one is also the one where you have the grant from DEC, the reimbursement grant. And that's why the amounts are being paid out of the bond proceeds that were put in place until you can get reimbursement from DEC on that.
Gotcha. Thank you.
No problem.
Any other discussion? Jennifer, call roll, please.
Councilmember Wenzel?
Aye.
Councilmember Ganther?
Aye.
Councilmember Senko?
Aye.
Supervisor Chappell?
Aye.
Motion to approve an authorized payment in the amount of $8,660 to Delaware Engineering for invoice number 14. Whereas the town of Duanesburg Board has established sewer district number 1 and 2, whereas the Delanson Wastewater Treatment Plant serves Duanesburg Sewer District number 1 and 3, whereas the town board retained Delaware Engineering, DPC, for professional services in connection with long-term improvement projects at the Delanson Wastewater Treatment Plant, and whereas that Delaware has submitted an invoice dated May 7th, 2021 for the town board to review in the amount of $8,660 for professional services provided during April and May of 2021. And now therefore be it resolved that town board approves professional services invoices number 14 and authorizes town supervisor to submit the documentation to New York State Environmental Facilities Corporation to obtain funds to pay the invoice upon receipt of such funds and authorizes payment to Delaware in the amount of $8,660.
Second.
Any discussion?
Yeah, well, this is the other project that we got going. This is the long-term improvements over at Delanson that we talked about earlier where they were pouring the concrete today.
Jennifer, call the roll, please.
Councilmember Sonico?
Aye.
Councilmember Camper?
Aye.
Councilmember Wenzel?
Aye.
Supervisor Dibble?
Aye. Make the motion to approve and authorize the town supervisor to execute the civil rights certification form. Whereas the town of Duanesburg, parentheses the town, operates a Section 8 Housing Choice Voucher Program funded by the United States Department of Housing and Urban Development, parentheses HUD. And whereas, to operate the program, the town is required to execute a civil rights certification form. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the town board approves and authorizes the town supervisor to execute the attached civil rights certification form.
Second. Discussion on this. This is something we do every year through HUD. It's a requirement by them. Stay current. Any other discussion? Jennifer, call the roll, please.
Councilmember Gamble?
Aye.
Councilmember Wenzel?
Aye.
Councilmember Sonico?
Aye.
Supervisor?
Aye. Motion to approve and authorize the town supervisor to sign the revised visual screening agreement. Whereas the town planning board, as SEAKER lead agency, issued a negative declaration of environmental significance and approved the Oak Hill 1 LLC and Oak Hill 2 LLC solar projects, the solar projects. Whereas a condition of the approval was issued for the solar project, the town acquires and operates the solar projects to enter an agreement with the town to set forth the terms and conditions governing the maintenance of visual landscape screening for the solar projects. Whereas on April 22nd, 2021, the town board adopted a resolution approving and authorizing the town supervisor to sign the visual screen agreement. And whereas subsequent in a aforementioned resolution, the parties to the agreement continued to negotiate the terms, which has resulted in a revised agreement. Now, therefore, be resolved that the town of Duanesburg town board approves and authorizes the town supervisor to sign the attached revised visual screening agreement.
So, when we were looking at this, you've seen the previous version. There have been changes to that version. You all received a red line version via the email, so you can see all the changes that were made. And what you have in front of you tonight is the final version accepting those changes. So basically, when the planning board approved the project, they indicated that there should be a visual screening agreement, which makes sure that the applicant plants the visual screening materials, and it follows exactly the resolution, which is attached to this, and also Schedule A, which is just a meets and bounds description of the two parcels, one for each 5-megawatt facility. And that pretty much is that.
Okay, thank you. Need a second?
Second.
Any other further discussion?
Well, we received a 3-page letter for comments on this and suggested additions. And we just received it right before the meeting.
Okay.
The time to review. I'm going to suggest that we take the time to review that letter and hold off on approving this until the next meeting. That would be my suggestion because I'd like to see what's in it. Perhaps there's something that we might want to add.
Okay. I agree. We'll table this resolution until next board meeting. Okay.
Second.
Making official, I'll make the motion to table this motion to the next board meeting. Jeff, second. Any other discussion? Jennifer, call roll, please.
Supervisor Dibble.
Aye.
Councilmember Sonico.
Aye.
Councilmember Camper.
Aye.
Councilmember
Wenzel. Aye.
Make a motion to appoint Marcy Cusillier to the Park Committee. She has been, just discussion on that, she has been on the committee now for a few meetings. I don't recall how many, but always good to have someone willing to step out and volunteer and serve with the committee. She was one of the people that was there to help on our cleanup day at Shaker Park on May 1. So anyone coming in to volunteer, greatly appreciated.
Excellent.
Yep. I'll second. Any other discussion?
No. Welcome aboard. It's
absolutely
great.
Absolutely. Jennifer, call the roll, please.
Councilmember Wenzel.
Aye.
Supervisor
Schiffel. Aye.
Councilmember Ganther.
Aye.
Councilmember
Aye. Motion to appoint Alan Livingood as part-time summer help.
Second the motion.
This is something we do every year. We usually bring on a high school student that's of age or younger gentleman or somebody, ladies. Basically come help with park cleanup, mowing, general cleaning duties of the town. In general, basically, Mr. Good applied and met with Dale, and Dale recommended. So, any other discussion? Call roll, please.
Supervisor Schiffel.
Aye.
Councilmember Champion.
Aye.
Councilmember
Sarfield. Aye. Aye. Any other motions that we forgot that we missed that we're going to do? All right, open to the privilege of the floor. I know we have a few people up, so. Anybody wish to speak that's on Zoom or in the building, please go ahead.
Hi, it's Lynn, 13388 Twainsburg Road. Thank you for taking the time to consider the importance of the documents that you're signing for Oak Hill. Any solar facility that is approved anywhere in the town deserves a great deal of consideration and accuracy in the documents. These are projects that will remain. They will forever change the land use planning within the town. And it is important to be sure that everything is done correctly because these projects are sold and traded rapidly. Oak Hill was sold on November, the documents that I have from the state indicate it was sold November 23rd of 2019. So, and now they're AMP Solar is now a subsidiary of IB Vote in Germany. It will again be sold and it again be sold. So the documents really do need, you know, whether it's Oak Hill or any other solar facility, they need to be accurate, they need to be thoughtful, and they need to be considerate for the generations that come after us. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else that wish to speak? Open.
I'll take my turn. Peter Watrous again. Every so often I just check and see what's going on in the town here. One of the things that I was thinking about this winter as I was walking around the hamlet of Duanesburg was looking into the ditches along the side of the road and various places. There was a lot of trash around there. I don't know if that's true in the other hamlets or the town or Glanson, but I was thinking of calling Dale Warner and asking if anybody was considering what to do about that, and also wondering about the possibility of organizing people in the hamlet here to get have a day to, and whether, you know, that could become a more official, like having some kind of a vest or that sort of thing that, you know, if you're walking along the road, that would be more easily seen, the watch kind of vest or the kind of things you can pick up trash with, that sort of thing. Those sorts of things might be helpful for the town if that was available. But I was wondering that this may be an issue that's come up before. I just wonder if there have been thoughts about it or anything that's going on about that before.
Nothing that's been planned. What you do is Dale's actually you don't want to. Can't speak tonight. Dale's not the person you want to speak to. What I could do is kind of direct this a little bit to Mr. Reed. If the ditches, you know, the ditches are on the county or state roads, those will be responsibility of them at this point. We do have some crossroads like Duane Ave and the other little roads. Maybe when Mr. Reed's out, he can get a judgment of what needs to be done. If we need to get, he can get back to us and say maybe we should get a committee together and go out and do a good cleanup day. I know like some of the local groups do. You've seen like, I've seen them up in Route 20, local Duanesburg groups up there doing some cleanup with garbage bags and stuff. But yeah, it's, every year, you know, after wintertime comes, you find treats. So it's that time of year.
I was walking there before the winter, too. And
yeah.
Going up the post office on Route 7 was a lot of litter there. Going down toward the bank on Route 20.
Yeah.
A lot of litter in the ditches there.
Yeah. We can always
state road.
Yeah, we always contact the property owners, too, and ask them to clean up in front of their properties. But yeah, there's something we can definitely do. But if it's stuff that's on town property, down the town road, in our town ditches, that's something we can look at maybe trying to take care of. But yeah, there are groups out there that I have seen on the roads cleaning, you know, picking up.
Well, I do it myself. As I take a walk along, I'll take a bag with me and
yep.
pick up trash as I go, and I can cover quite a bit of territory doing that. But what was up in town in the hamlet of Duanesburg was more than I wanted to do myself. It was taking us several garbage bags full.
Yeah, we'll definitely keep it in mind. We'll check it out and we'll go from there.
If I notice that the problem persists, should I talk with Bill Reed or?
We need to contact Jen, the town clerk, just so that she gets a note to all of us. Not just the bill. You know, either bills out, our crews are out there if they're picking up garbage, you know, they're doing highway maintenance. But if these are sometimes a ditch that we haven't done the ditch work for the year, you know, sometimes it helps clean up. But we can look at it as a group. But just mostly get the comment, you know, your comments to Jen, she can disperse them to everybody, and we'll figure out a way to get it done.
Okay.
Peter, Bill Reed, I'll add to that. So every spring when the snow melts, I send the crews out. We pick up all the litter on the town roads. This year we got about 16 large garbage bags. So what you're seeing on town roads is new.
Yeah.
I've been doing that since I started 9 years ago.
This is a continued thing because,
the state roads in the middle of the towns are probably the worst. So.
Yeah, we'll take a look at it.
Okay.
Thank you.
I have another issue as well, and that's not a new one. That has to do with this thing that I've brought up a number of times about the park, the town land, which is on Van Patten Road, that is currently a field, but is quickly becoming a block. Not a forest, but a place with a lot of brush. It's a very pretty field. I actually have a picture of it. I don't know if that's it.
But I know the area you're speaking of.
Right. And so right now, it could be mowed relatively easily. You can see there are not too many bushes in there.
Yeah.
But they're starting to grow. And it's a very pretty field. It has a nice view. I walk it three or four times a week. And I notice there are a lot of other people who walk along there as well. It is adjacent to the park land. I always considered it sort of part of the park. Some parts of it have turned to forest. But this particular park was mowed by Ray Traver for years, and then for whatever reason he stopped doing that, and it's since then begun to grow up more. I've talked to somebody who will mow it with a brush hog for $30 an hour. He would give me an estimate, and I would be willing to. Given the size of the field, I don't think it could do that much to it, so I would personally be willing to pay for it if that's easy. you know, the concerns about
you're being town property, we would not allow you to mow it. The mowing of that property basically comes up to the highway department. I know we've had these discussions before. We don't feel that there's a necessity, I think, to mow that property. And if we were to mow it, if it was to be mowed, we do have the machinery to mow it. I mean, this is a discussion. I mean, I haven't been down Van Patten in a while. I can take a ride myself, and I'll have a further discussion with Mr. Reed and see what we can do, if we're going to do anything.
Well, I guess that, you know, obviously this is something I brought up before. Okay, if you could get back to me.
Yes.
Again, I consider it part of the park.
Mm-hmm.
And it is connected to the park. It's a part of the park in the same way that the land on the other side of the baseball field is part of the park up there on the other park. So, at any rate, I appreciate you.
Not a problem. Thank you. Anybody else? Yes, ma'am.
Is it appropriate now? Are you comment about the screening for the solar?
Yeah, you can.
Okay. Susan Biggs, 1238. No. I'd just like to let everybody mention it again that the screening in regard to the evergreens that you have gone to Guernsey, as I did last year, and purchased many Norway spruce, I was told at that time that there is a fungus going around that is non-treatable, and that things like arboretum and all of the other evergreens are being attacked by a fungus which they cannot control. So it's just trying to make a word to the wise who is ever responsible for the screening that they may save themselves some money by buying the proper trees before they put something in which is going to be attacked and die and have to be replaced.
Good point. Very good point. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you.
Anybody else? Anybody on Zoom that left and wants to speak? If not, if you had any comments that you didn't want to speak about tonight, just please get them to our town clerk. We'll disperse them from there. I'm going to make the motion for adjournment then.
Second.
Any discussion? Nope. Dan, call the roll, please.
Councilmember Schiffel.
Aye.
Councilmember Schiffel.
Aye.
Councilmember
Gaffney. Aye. Councilmember Wentzel. Aye. Folks, thank you very much. Thank you for all the input. Have a good night. Enjoy the weekend.
Have a good night.
What are they saying?